So last week we introduced the introduction to the Sugya of Kashrut of how to involve most of the year. We're going to be trying to speak about some of the details in terms of those Kashrut, different categories of those Kashrut. But before we get to the Prok of Kashrut, let's try to spend a little bit of time on some of the Klog of Kashrut, some of the basic rules that govern many of the rules of Kashrut. And the first concept that we introduced last week was the concept of Achila. Obviously, anything we're speaking about the Kashrut is assuming that we're working with something which is halachically considered to be achila. So we spoke a little bit about last week about how much is considered to be achila, is the smallest amount of achila, kedai is considered to be achila, are the differences in different areas of halacha. Now we move on to a second dimension, a second aspect of achila, and that is the notion that's called hanoas achila. Hanoas achila means literally the person is not just eating, but the person is actually benefiting, is enjoying what he's eating. How much does hanoah, how much does the benefiting of the eating play a significant role in terms of halachic kashrut? So the sugya begins in somewhat of a strange place, analyzing a shita that we don't paskin like, but as very often in the Gemara, through the analysis of a shita that we don't paskin like, we can glean some important principles which will become relevant for us lahalacha as well. So the sugya begins with Daf Mem Gimel and Aleph, analyzing the following shaila: Ha'aditani, ha'omel shlucho tsei harogis hanefesh, hu chayav usholcha poter. If a person sends a shaliach to do an aveir on his behalf. The Gemara gives the most starkest example. Reuven said, send Shimon to go kill somebody. Reuven says to Shimon, you be my shaliach to kill somebody. And Shimon actually goes ahead and does it. So the halacha says that, Shimon is chayev, nisa stays in. Mishalcha potter. And the mishaleach Reuven, the person who sent him, is potter from nisa's beizin. Why is that? We're all familiar with the principle called ein shaliach da aveira. That's the principle of shlichus. Doesn't apply in the realm of Aveira. So in terms of Beizin Shalmasa, in terms of the court in this world, the person who actually pulls the trigger is the one who's chayav. The person who sends the person who says to pull the trigger is not going to be chayav. The Gemara says in the Constitution, don't think that the Beizin Shalmala, that the person who hired the hitman is going to get off scot-free. He's going to have a din v'chesh v'n shemayim, but again, we're still working in the Yeshiva Shalmasa, not the Yeshiva Shalmala right now. So the first opinion that Brisa says that the Mishaleach, in a sense, the Beis Shemata gets off scot-free, because ain't Shaluchas Vaveir. But Shalai HaZokin Omer, Shalai himself, not the Beis Shalai, but the leader of the Beis Shalai, had the following tradition, Omer Mishum Chage HaNovi. He said it going all the way back, he had a tradition back from Chage HaNovi. It doesn't mean that Shalai actually met Chage HaNovi. Many of the Rishonim say, whenever the Gemara uses the phrase Mishum, that means that, not that I actually heard it in his name, but I'm hearing from someone who heard in his name. The Shammai has a tradition that says, Sholchav Chayav, that in fact, that the Mishaleach will be Chayav. The Shammai seems to hold that unlike what we talk in, Shammai seems to hold Yesh Lechav Aver. So the Mishaleach can actually be held responsible in the Beis Din Shel Mata as well. Now the Gemara begins to analyze Shammai Shita. We started off by saying, we don't talk in the Shammai. We talk in that Yesh Lechav Aver. But according to Shammai, we can discuss the following. We skip to where the next Tidakar. Maybe that Shammai himself agrees, Ba'omel Shluchot say Ba'olas Erva, Ve'acholas Achelev. What would Shammai say about the following Shaila? Reuven says to Shimon, you go and do the following Aveir for me. You go and do Gili Arayas for me. Or you go and eat Chelev. You go and eat Treif of food for me. Would we say that Yesh Shlich is Aveir according to Shammai, and the person who sent the Shaliach should be Chayav? Like the message is, that's ridiculous. That even Shammai would agree, Shehu Chayev Shalchav Potter, that the person who actually did the eating, or the person who actually did the Maaseh Erez Nus, would be Chayev, whereas the Mishalech would be Potter. What's the difference between the Aveira of Reticha, where Shammai accepts the principle of Yeshlech as Aveira? What is the difference between that and Macholos Asurot, an eating trade? So says the Gemara the following principle, Shulamatzinu B'cholat Arakula Zed Nanev Ezem is Chayev. It is inconceivable. We have never found in any area of halacha that one person should be benefiting and the other actually have to pay the price for it. What is the Gemara telling us? That there's a fundamental difference between aveira such as reticha in contrast to aveira such as eating tray. The aveira of reticha is basically a maisa aveira, the action that I go ahead and I kill somebody, that's considered to be the violation of lo tirtach. So we have to pasken ein shlech adva aveira. Unless you're the one who physically pulls the trigger, you're not going to be chayef in Beis Neshamata. Shammai is mechadish, and yesh lech v'aveira. So when Ruvain does it, it's as if Shimon did it, but that only makes sense in a veira such as Reticha, when there's a mita to speak about. When we're speaking about eating trade, for that matter, speaking about a veira such as Yilirayos, there the focus is on hano. L'matzinu zen nenev zen mechayef. How can it be, it doesn't make any sense, that one guy should enjoy the chaylev and the other guy should have to pay the price, should have to be chayav malchus for the quote-unquote eating of the chaylev. So within the sheet of Shammai Azot, and the Gemara is telling us a chiddush about the very nature of the aveira of eating treif, that the hanash shebo is critical. The way to gauge whether somebody violated the aveira of eating treif is, did you benefit? Did you enjoy it? Did you get pleasure from what you did? If you didn't get pleasure, somebody else got the pleasure, there's no way you're going to be chayav. The question is there any relevance from this principle for us to halacha? We don't accept Shammai's view by any of the eros, but why should this be relevant for us? So the Gemara in the second Gemara Kavot has a possible application of the same principle in an area a little bit closer to the halacha. So the Gemara in Maseches Krisos and Daf Yotzei Medayz has the following statement: the Amr of Nachman and Shmuel, "Hamesafik v'chalom v'arayis chayav shekein nehemeh." The Gemara is discussing an area of halacha called mis'asek. Mis'asek means that I did something, I did an aveira, but I did it in such a way that I had no idea what I was doing. This is not what we call shogig. Shogig means I know exactly what I am doing, it's just I'm missing some information. So for example, shogig on Shabbos means I know that I'm writing right now, I just don't know either that it's Shabbos. I forgot that it was Shabbos or it was Tuesday. Or number two, I forgot that you're not allowed to write on Shabbos. In terms of the Maisa itself, I am totally, completely aware, I'm cognizant of what I am doing, but I'm missing some parts of the puzzle which would otherwise make me chayav. So that's what's called shogeg, and a person has to be a korban for that. Whatever a person does in the walk on Shabbos, and he has no idea what was happening, he walks past the light switch, and he's, by mistake, his arm rubs against the light switch, and the lights go on. What is it? He starts looking around, which kid turned on the lights, and he goes, he turned on the lights. So the Gemara says, that's mis'asek, and you wouldn't bring a korban chatas for that. That's a nothing. That's a garbage. That's meaningless. But says the Gemara, there's an exception to that rule, and that's in the realm of chalav v'arayis. We're going to keep the chalav now. It's easiest for us to understand this. Chalav being the example of macholos asuros. If a person ate chalav, and not that he didn't know he was not allowed to eat chalav, he didn't even know he was doing a ma'aseh achilah. He was totally in space right now. He didn't realize he had food in his mouth. He thought he was swallowing his saliva, and all of a sudden, he realized this minute later, wait a second, I just eat something. Oh my goodness, who put food into my mouth? I didn't even know it was there. That's called mis'asek. The Gemara says that the tour in the Shabbos, the mis'asek, would not carry over to chaylev. Why is that? Shekein nehenet. There's a big difference between chil Shabbos and eating treif. Chil Shabbos is an action that the Torah prohibits. If I didn't know I was doing the action, I had no idea, I wasn't cognizant of what was going on, that's not called an aveira. When it comes to eating treif, I don't really care what you were thinking. All I really care about is, tachlis, did you enjoy? The chaylev went down, pretty good taste in chaylev. I didn't even realize what I was doing. It doesn't matter, shekein nehenet. You have these two Gemaras that are invoking the principle of nehenet in two different directions. In the first Gemara, we're invoking the principle of nehenet as such an integral part of the iser of eating treif that if a person technically, through the principles of shlichus, quote-unquote, ate the treif, but since he practically didn't get hanoah from it, he's not going to be chayav. So here, hanoah is playing a role in exempting the person. And then the Gemara is turning around and increasing up your task and invoking the same principle of hanoah the other direction to make a person chayev on something that in other areas of the law he would have been potter for. So you see that the hanoah is critical in terms of defining bein lekula bein lechumra. Was there a violation of eating non-kosher? Eating non-kosher is not just, did I physically do an act of eating? There's more to it than that. Did I enjoy what I did? Was there something positive? Was there something tasty? Was there something satiating to it? Those all go into the equation to figure out whether I actually violated the Isra Machos or Surasim. So since we're focusing on the Hanoa Shabo, now we have to get to very, very nitty, gritty details. What exactly do we mean by that? At what point is considered to be Hanoa? What physical point in the human body, the human digestive system, qualifies as the sense of the point of no return? At what point do we say you experience that hanoah, whatever that hanoah is, and now you actually chayiv at that point? So Gemara, the third of the Mamakamos, goes to Machlekes Amarayim, on Chulin Dafkot Yomim and Aleph, Amar B'Shem and Lokesh, Kazayi Sha'amru, Chutz Mishal Dein Hashinayim. When we cheshbon, based on what we said last week, that you have to eat a kazayis in order to be chayiv, the Rish Lokesh tells us how much of the food goes into being a kazayis. So the guy sat down and had a whole steak, a whole tray of steak, that he obviously swallowed a kazayis. What if he just ate kosher, just ate a kazayis, and some of the kazayis just stuck between his teeth? Habasso dena ben shenem. So 99% of the kazayis went down, but a little small piece of the kazayis still stuck between his teeth. So Rabbi Shimon Lokesh, Rish Lokesh tells us that doesn't count. Whatever's in between his teeth doesn't count as the shear of kazayis. And following what we spoke about last week, although he violated an instant deraisa, because he ate chatushir, but he wouldn't be chayav malchus for that. According to Rish Lokesh, whatever's in the teeth doesn't count. For Rabbi Yochanan, ma'afin ve'na shinayim, whatever's left in the teeth also does count. So it sounds to Rabbi Yochanan that you don't even have to swallow the food in order to be chayav. So the Gemara quickly qualifies that. Amra kofa. Bishel ben shinayim. When it comes to the food that's stuck in between your teeth, so the kuliyamalei pligi. So says the papa, it is inconceivable you should be chayav for that. The guy ate a kazayas, and half the kazayas is still stuck in his teeth. What kind of achila is that? That's not called achila altogether. Ki pligi, the machlekes, was not about literally the teeth, but it was about benachani chayim, about the back part of his throat, the palate area, whatever you want to call it exactly. Mar sabar enene grona b'kazayas, mar sabar achila b'nei ha'ba'inan. So one opinion maintains, Rabbi Yechiel maintains, that what we call Hanoah's Gorom, as long as the food has passed into your throat, and your throat has benefited from the food, that's considered to be Achiva in all areas of Halacha. And Rish Lokesh says even that's not enough. Rish Lokesh says it has to go to the Be'ayim, it has to go down to the, somewhere into the Kishka, somewhere down into the stomach, whatever that means, it's got to go down somewhere in order to qualify as Achiva. So here the Gemara is telling us that now there are different lines of demarcation within the digestive system. So whatever's literally in the mouth part, up at the top of the teeth, that's a garnish. That's not even up for discussion. If it makes it all the way down to the bottom, that's for sure achila. If somewhere in the middle is unclear, machlekes Rabbi Yechiel Rish Lokesh, and the Gemara uses these two terms, hanos garon or hanos me'ayim. So the Gemara now puts a little bit of a gory nafkavina la'alocha to this. Am Rabbi Asi and Rabbi Yechiel, the Gemara continues in that Mar Mokom. Ochol chatizayis v'chiyo, v'choz Rabbi Yochol chatizayis archer chayev. By timer inene grona b'kizayis. What if a person swallows a chatizayis, half a kizayis, and then he throws it up? So presumably, the food did not make it all the way down to the me'ayim, but it did pass the point of Rabbi Yochanan's achila, pass the point of the throat. So according to Rabbi Yochanan, you already ate a chatizayis. If you go ahead and eat another chatizayis, then you add it. Half and a half equals a whole, and you would be chayev. According to Rish Lokesh, that wouldn't be true. Because according to Rish Lokesh, you never reached the point of mili hameyayim of a kizayim. So when all the dust settles, you have machlekes of Yechiel Rish Lokesh, where do you draw the line in terms of achila? Everyone agrees that there's some point where we declare you've received sufficient hanoah to be chayim. Is the point of hanoah hanoah's dorom, or is the point of hanoah hanoah's meyayim? So we very rarely have to pass in a shayel of maisa like this, because most of the time we eat something. Go down all the way. So I had a shayla maita that this shayla goes back already more than 25 and 30 years ago. Somebody asked me the shayla. The only reason I remember that because it happened when I was living in Kerbiavna. I think I'm trying to remember which kufa was. I was there a few times in Kerbiavna, but one of the kufas in Kerbiavna, the following shayla came up to me. And for about 30 years or so, I was assuming the psak was a certain way. And a couple of weeks ago, I had some chalish tadas about some stuff. Play the background to the story. So I hope everybody finished eating supper already a few hours before, because you may not, this would not be a good lunch and learn kind of a discussion. The shayla was as follows. I guess I should have said the name of the yeshiva, so please nothing, nothing negative about the yeshiva. And I was sitting in the Beis Medrash one night, late at night, and one of the boys comes back to the Beis Medrash, and he's a tail of a ghost. Comes up and he says, got to ask me a question, so what's the problem? So he went back to his room, he was a little bit hungry, so he started to munch on some cake on the table, and he was such a nice guy, he didn't want to sit on the light to wake up his roommates. So he's munching on a piece of cake, he swallows it, he tastes the mudness, doesn't taste exactly right. He takes a piece of cake outside to the light, and he sees it warming with ants. So what was the shayla? So he comes running back, he wants to know, is he mechuyif to throw up what he just ate? That's the shayla. Is he just ate treif? Is he now mechuyif to throw up? So I said to him, I think it's the machlekes Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish. I said, Mamash this sugya, instead of cool in both places. I said, according to Reish Lakish, you haven't yet done achila. It hasn't quite made it. I mean, I don't know if chapter the GI guys, how long it takes to go down. We don't even know what the meayim are. Does the meayim mean the stomach? Do not know what the meayim are? But according to Reish Lakish, one could argue that if the person gets thrown up, he should be mechuyif to do so to prevent him from being violated and multiple sugya of eating treifas, like we spoke about last week. Every bug is another marker potentially. That's not a good thing to eat right. The Gemara says if you eat a certain kind of bug, so you can be high with rational list, you can be high 4 markers, 5 markers, 6 markers. But somebody once pointed out that in the hierarchy of things, if you want to violate an Aveira, the 5 markers, there are a lot dead Aveiras to do. This is like the worst kind of Aveira you can possibly do. Why would you want to get 5 markers eating a healthy bug? Anyway, getting back to the story. So the guy wants to know, should I throw up or not? So according to Reish Lakish, the answer is yes. But according to Yechanan, I don't think you gain anything by throwing up. Because according to Yechanan, you did the Aveira, it happened already. So the bug went down already, it passed the Goron, went beneath the point of the throat, you did the Aveira, throwing up, it's not going to help them, it's not going to change anything. So that's what I said almost 30 years ago. So a couple of weeks ago, we were learning a sugya, Masechet Ketubos, you know, the third part of Ketubos, where part of the sugya, don't know it's Goron, don't know it's comes up again. And we're discussing a little bit about the sheet of Rabbi Yochanan about Hanos Goren. Rabbi Yochanan says Hanos Goren is chayav. Did Rabbi Yochanan mean that only Hanos Goren is chayav? Or Rabbi Yochanan meant that also Hanos Goren is chayav? Namely, according to Rabbi Yochanan, there are multiple points of achila. Whenever I eat something, so you don't have to wait till it gets to the Me'ayim to be called achila. It's already called achila at the early stage, but that doesn't mean that it's not called achila at the later stage. It's not Hanos Goren in contrast to Hanos Me'ayim. It's Hanos Goren as a separate, independent Mechayev, but if for whatever reason Hanos Goren wasn't there, you may still be Chayev at the point of Hanos Me'ayim also. So it's not clear exactly what Rabbi Yochanan Shita really is. So all of a sudden I start to think myself, oh, there's nothing I can do better now. Now it's past Hanos Me'ayim also. I don't know what the guy is anymore. But in theory, according to this Lomdus, that maybe even Rabbi Yochanan agrees that there are multiple points of Achila, so then maybe we'd have to reassess this question when the first movie will clear this rabbi. Hopefully it was a halachah in mindset. There we go. Oh, we're going to get there. Very good. Excellent. He said, I don't think we're going to get there this week, but definitely coming up. That's part of the sugya of the Achilah Shlo Kederach, which is going to touch on some of these principles as well. It's also part of it. So that's the question. We have to get to that. About is that considered the Achilah Shlo Kederach and the Achilah Shlo Kederach from the sustain? So those are things. It's the whole sugya in itself. So, co-partner, let's work now within the world of Rabbi Yochanan. We pass like Rabbi Yochanan, called Hanos Goren. So Rashi on the spot of a second chulin tells us that for the person who receives an Hanos Goren, if you take a look at the second line of Rashi, hol b'chidei achilas pras havoi. As long as even though a person ate one bite and swallowed it, and then eats another bite a minute later, that's all mitzvahs together, all joined together, even though it's never really in the throat at the same time, one can argue maybe that's not called achila. The Rashi invokes the principle called chidei achilas pras, which is the Gemara in many places, that there's halacha l'moshe Sinai in the realm of achila, that any achila that's done within a certain time frame, a certain time limit, or kedechilas pras, that's the amount of time to eat a certain amount of bread, is all considered to be an achila b'val tachas. So therefore, when it comes to being chayav for a kezayis, even though I didn't, my goron, my throat, technically wasn't nana together, wasn't physically nana together, but halachli was nana together. But this carries over to mitzvot as well. When you yoke to the mitzvah of achilas matzah, not necessary to swallow the whole matzah at once. You can take a little bit of matzah and then eat a little bit more, a little bit more, a little bit more, as long as it's all within the shiur called kedei achilas pras. So this shiur kedei achilas pras is now critical because it's not only that you have to have hanor in order to be chayav, and it's not only that you have to have a hanor of a kezayis, and we spoke about last week, but the hanor of a kezayis doesn't have to be simultaneous. As long as it's spread out within a certain amount of time, that's all considered to be within the shiur of hanor achila, that all qualifies as kedei achilas pras. So this halacha, that on the one hand we're insisting on hanor achila to be present in order to be chayav, and hanor is the guiding principle behind all of kashrus, bein l'chula bein l'chovra. On the other hand, we speak about certain objective shiurim, kedayis, kedei achilas pras. The question is, what is the relationship between these two? How much of kashrus, so to speak, is really revolving around the concept of hanor, and how much is it an absolute objective measurement called kedayis, kedei achilas pras, numbers, etc.? So there is a sugya that the Rambam somehow got a little bit put out of order on the Mamukamot. But if you take a look at the back first, so the Rambam in Hilchos Brachos for Gimel Lachi Yedeis is discussing the principles of Kedayis and the principles of Kedei Achilas Pras as they relate to Hilchos Brachos. But the truth is they're really just borrowed from Hilchos Kashrus. So the Rambam writes in Gimel Lachi Yedeis in the back of Mamukamot, when is a person required to make a bracha charona? If a person ate more than a kezayis, they have to bench. Whatever the appropriate bracha charona is, the shear is kezayis. If a person ate less than a kezayis, no matter what he ate, or well, if a person drank less than a revius, less than about 3 ounces or so of a liquid, the varach v'tchila bracha ruilos, I mean, you always make a bracha rishona, or basop in the varach klal, in order to be chayat for bracha rishona, so then, also the other lahanos min alam azabli bracha, even the smallest amount you have to make a bracha for, but in order to be chayat and be a mazan or other bracha, it has to be a chalfik, it has to be derech achila, namely it has to be a kizayim. So on this Rambam, the Mishnah Melech, the next to the Rambam Kavos, quotes the following fascinating Shaila, which is still a running issue out of Yemazah. So says the Mishnah Melech, on the one hand we say that in order to be chayav in a bracha charona, you have to have a kezayis, or you have to have a revius for liquid, and it has to be within a certain time frame. All the din of brachas are padded to the din of kashrus. He has the following Shaila. Shemati ba'omim li sh'al shtiyat ha'kovi kofi. You want to know what's the din if a person has a cup of coffee? Do you make a bracha charona on coffee? What's the shaila? Shaila is you usually drink the cup of coffee fairly slow, but by the time you finish drinking the revius, it really takes 15 minutes for a good cup of hot coffee to go down. So we heard that there are those who say, Shemavarchim yacharot, v'yaf appreciation with chivas hashtiyat, so hashtiyat, yosuf eshtiyat revius, so yosuf chivas pras. No matter what the shear is, it takes much longer than that shear. The machbis and the machbis, whatever the shear is. So why should anybody say you make the bracha chalola on coffee? Shiny hocha, mishum the derech shtiyasa b'kach, because this is normal to drink coffee at that taste. When is there a din of a kedech l'spras? When you're eating a piece of matzah, so you have to eat matzah within the normal frame of eating matzah. So the halacha gives you a few minutes to eat the matzah. If the guy takes an hour and eats a piece of matzah, he's eating it in a bizarre manner. When it comes to drinking a cup of coffee, that's the normal way of drinking the coffee. They're drinking very slow. So, even though on the clock there's so much time on the lap, it doesn't matter because that's the normal way of drinking. So, the Mishnah Melech says he heard there's someone who wanted to say that. The Lee Nira, he wants to disagree. The Chiluk Zelayse, he says it's not true. How do I know it's not true? So he brings you a raya from a Rambam, quoting from Gemara Maseches Kri, says, "Raya Mashkas Rabbeinu Tzor Pechet Ur Shalos Atum Zal Shono. Isha Shei Rishon Metuma Omenikas Dina Havrei Habein Tahor Lo Gadra Lav Tuma Shafilo Toma Shiyanak Reviyas Efsha Shei Mitchil Betzof Yosuf Bichdei Chilas Pras." The Rambam is quoting a din tucked away in Maseches Kri, says, "Lav Tuma Tzitaris." There's a din with the Rabbanan that if a person eats food that's tamei, so the person becomes tummy. Or if he drinks beverages that are tummy, the person becomes tummy. The Rambam is discussing what's the din if a baby is nursing and the baby happens to be nursing milk, that's tummy. The milk became tummy. Whatever happened to the mother? Tasha's bottom line is the milk is tummy, and the baby is nursing the milk, drinking the milk. So the Gemara happens to say, that I don't quote, that the baby does not become tummy. Why not? Because he's drinking it so long. It's taking the baby so long to nurse. A normal baby doesn't nurse so fast, so he's not getting a revius, because he's not getting the shear of beverage within a certain time frame, so that's not considered to be like drinking the beverage. Atkan the right. Says the Mishnah Melech, aye, but that's the normal way to drink. That's the normal way for the baby to nurse. And still, the halacha insists that you don't follow the normal shear, rather than objective shear of drinking. So you see from here that when you don't make a bracha achron on the coffee, within a million years, you have to be out. Coffee and kotar are cool. If you know it didn't, hilchah of a tattoo. So you have to know that there exists an area called Hukh Shah of the Tuba. And you have to extrapolate from the Rambam in the eighth paragraph of Hukh Shah of the Tuba, the Paschim, the Shah, and the Brachas be. Whether you make a Brachas Rona on a cup of coffee or not. It was a riot from the Mishnah. Notwithstanding the onus of this riot, there were those who disagreed with this riot. There were Gedolei HaPoskim, the Shachina, others who disagreed with this and said, no, that the first group of Poskim are right, that normal is normal, and if it's normal to drink a cup of coffee in a long time, so that's the way it is. You can make a bracha for it. How do you deflect the raya? How do you disagree with the raya from the tumah? So the Sefer Aruch Haner in Mateches Krisas, Aruch Haner was of Yaakov Ettlinger. He was the Rebbe of Shem Trafal Hirsch. Aruch Haner suggests the following one, like a brisket turd. He was a Yeki. He wasn't exactly a brisket, but he said the brisket rav liked the Aruch Haner very much. He said he thought he was almost like a brisket. It's close to a brisket as you can get. So the Aruch Haner writes, there are two halachim. There are two different didim of eating and drinking. You have to always ask yourself, what area of halacha are we in? So says the Aruch Haner, in the area of tuma, I want to know, did I become tummy, did I not become tummy? Not because I enjoy when I'm drinking, not because I benefit, I couldn't kill less. There's an objective halacha that says, if you consume tummy food, you become tummy. If you consume tummy drinks, you become tummy. How much is called consuming? There's a mathematical equation. What the mathematical equation is, X amount within certain amount of time. That's it. Did I enjoy what I'm doing? Therefore, there's a certain objective shear, and that objective shear goes across the board. Doesn't matter whether it's normal or not normal. That's the shear. If you made the shear, you make the shear. When it comes to making a bracha corona, why is it that you only make a bracha corona to either kezayis tachtechi or sprach? If you think about it, why, if I take one bite out of my sandwich now, and then an hour and a half take another bite, and 6 hours later, and over the course of 24 hours, I ate a kezayis, why don't I make a bracha corona? So the answer is, because I wasn't nana significantly from the food. That's not a way to eat. You have a bite here, a bite there, a bite there. At the end of the day, you didn't really eat stuff. You said, oh, you were noshing the whole night. You didn't really sit down and have a meal. That's the aruch haner. That's a different halacha. That's the way of measuring, not objective achila. That's the way of measuring, did you receive sufficient hana or not? If that's the aruch haner, now, once you tell me that that's a different type of halacha, that's more of hana oriented. That's more of a way of gauging. That's the barometer you use to measure whether I received sufficient hana. Then it's not going to make sense. Buy a cup of coffee. How can you turn around to the guy? He's drinking his hot coffee. Oh my goodness, it took him more than 9 minutes to drink the cup of coffee. Say, that was a terrible cup of coffee. You didn't enjoy that cup of coffee. I enjoyed the cup of coffee. It's kishma. If I would have drank it fast, it would have burnt my tongue. So that's the normal shear. That's the way you enjoy coffee. So if they have a bowl of ice cream, so people don't eat the ice cream so fast. Get the brain freeze. So it takes you a couple of minutes to eat it. That's normal. But says the Aruch Haner, when you're gauging what's normal, achila, when you're gauging hana, then you gauge what's considered to be normal. When you're dealing with some objective shear, which has nothing to do with the person benefiting from what he's doing, so then the halacha says, that there's a certain degree of objectivity. They said this is still with the Aruch Haner, how does kashrus fit into this picture? Which should we view kashrus as being an objective achila, chaykla, yeah, but that's the way it is? Should we say no? Kashrus is also a function of hana'a. According to everything we said up until now, according to the whole Shabbat that we said, what sounds like kashrus is closer to Hilchas Brachas than it is to Chasuma. Hilchas Kashrus is an expression of hana'a. Did I enjoy it? Did I not enjoy it? Even though I may have technically taken more than 9 absolute minutes to do it, but if that's darker because that's the normal way people enjoy their food, this is the type of food that takes 20 minutes to eat, so it isn't a star, we're joined together to be chayav in kashrus. So now we have to constantly ask ourselves, every time we see this halachas of kizayis, of sechim, of sprat, and of the kashrus, we have to ask ourselves, is this an absolute? Not necessarily. It may depend, according to the particular food that we're dealing with. So this idea that sechim, of sprat, sometimes is measured as an it is an expression of an objective shear, and sometimes it is an expression of a person's derech hanoah. This may be part of another phenomenon that we find, Nuchas Kidech L'Sprat. That's a comment of the Rambam. And now we go back to the Rambam on the first page. The Rambam, Nuchas L'Chot Sassurus, Prekidah L'Chachet. So the Rambam tells you there's a Shir Kidech L'Sprat by Stalit, but then in L'Chachet, when it comes to liquids, to trace of liquids, trace from beverages, but the Rambam tells you the Shir is different. In L'Chachet, the Chenashosu Revius, Shastam Yainam. What if a person drinks tray for wine? Wine was touched by a non-Jew, you're not allowed to do that. Person drinks tray for wine. Ma'at ma'at. Doesn't go the whole thing down at once. A little bit of sip, top, sip, top, etc. Oshehimchas a chomet to Pesach. Or what if he takes chomet of Pesach and turns the chomet into some kind of a liquid? Let's say he has liquid chomet, a cup of beer, a schnapp. So he drinks liquid chomet. The gomo ma'at ma'at. And now he drinks it down, sips it down a little at a time. Oshis shasam in hadama atna'a, a little bit less tasty. He drinks, sits down with a cup of blood, and he drinks dam a little bit at a time. Im sham itchila v'yatzov, kidei shtias revias, mitzarfen, v'lave mitzarfen. All of a sudden, the Rambam has a different shirir, Rambam has a different number of the Gamri. The Rambam says the way to measure whether you're chaya for drinking trace of beverages is not kidei l'sprat, it's not the amount of eating X amount of food, it's the amount of drinking X amount of liquid. The Rambam has that same idea that the shear changes because we're dealing with a liquid, not a solid. The Rambam has in Hilchos Shvitas Asor, the next Rambam, vis-a-vis Yom Kippur. The Rambam says that im ochal ma'at, the person eats a little bit in Yom Kippur, the chazar yachal eats a little bit more. Im yesh b'tchilas achila rishon, atzof achila acharona, kidei achila sholosh beitzim, and the amount of time to eat three eggs, which is kidei achila shpas, the Rambam has said, Tavela mitzvahel to the shear. If you're within that shear, then you're chayav. You love a mitzvahel to the shear. When it comes to food, the Rambam says the shear is the amount of eating eggs. Shosa ma'at b'chazav shosa. Im yesh b'chil ha-shtiyas rishon atzov shtiyach lanach b'shtiyas revias mitzvahel to the shear. All of a sudden, beverages, the Rambam changes the shear again. Right? The Rambam says beverages, even within a couple of seconds, becomes the new shear, the amount of time to drink a revias. So here the Rambam is repeating the same idea that he had in Kashrus, that when it comes to either literally trace beverages or in your kippur with everything is off limits, so the solids and liquids are not identical. Each one has its own shear. The problem is that the Rambam, in the next the Rambam, the Nuchas Avos Atumos, Perches Lach Yin Aleph, when the Rambam talks about drinking tummy liquids, the Rambam invokes the shear of Kadech L'Sprat, which is the solid shear. But how come the Rambam switches teams? When it comes to Tumah, the Rambam speaks about some objective shear, whereas Kashrus and Yom Kippur, everything changes based on the fact that it's a liquid. The Yechonah says the same thing, the same story, that Kedesh and Sprat depends what you're trying to accomplish. If you just have some objective number you're picking on, and the objective number is the same as solids and liquids. Once you're entering into the world of Hana, which areas of Halacha depend on Hana? Kashrus depends on Hana, Rochus depends on Hana, Yom Kippur depends on Hana. These are Hana-oriented Halachos. Then the Shear is going to be solids for solids and liquids for liquids, tea for tea and ice cream for ice cream. Everything's going to depend on what particular food gives off X amount of Hanoah within X amount. So in those settles, we definitely see that Hanoah plays a critical role in terms of kashrus, both the kula and the chumra. It can make a person chayv, it can make a person potter. How do you define Hanoah? Is Hanoah Hanoah's Goren? Is Hanoah Me'ayim? How does this interplay between the principle of Hanoah and Kedech L'Sprat? And the fact that even within this halacha of Kedech L'Sprat, we find that sometimes it's an expression of Hana and sometimes not. We have a little bit more of the introduction, continuing from what we happened last week. We know a little bit some of the basics about the definition of Achila. We know what the Shia of Achila is. We know what some of the concepts of Achila. We still have a little bit more to go before we get into the details of Kashrut. Yeah, okay, so min ha-Torah, you're correct, min ha-Torah, you can only be violent in Bas Bechol if you have a kedayis, it's like all other machos and surahs. But the whole idea of becoming fallacious and waiting, he knows he's a Roman Darabonin anyway. The Darabonin, none of it makes a difference. The Darabonin, Maisa, even eat the smallest amount, you're going to become fallacious. So, Achopana, we have a little bit more to go, just in terms of getting some of the basic parameters, the basic principles behind Achila down. We'll try to touch on a little bit more issues relating to Hagdama, and then we'll be able to try to put in some practical examples and see how some of this is going to play out in the Maisa and some of the cash. Okay, there it goes. Does it work? Yeah.